All right, well, my name is Derek Whitelock, and before I start, I want to tell you about my other authors here. One is Murali Sadaya, who until recently worked at the Gene Lab in Messiah Park. Also, Ed Hughes, my boss, research leader there, and then Ed Barnes with Cotton Incorporated. And just say something about Cotton Incorporated. Without their support, a lot of the research that we do, including this project, couldn't be done, so we appreciate that. How this project came about was we were sitting around talking about lint cleaning at a summit a few years back, and I was talking with some of my colleagues who do textile research, and they were showing us textile machinery and talking about some of the problems in some of that machines. And one of the things they were talking about was how different types of particles and things build up on the spinning machinery and causes problems in the machines. And one of my colleagues actually did some research on trying to figure out what type of particles those were, trying to identify them. And some of my research I actually do in the area of air quality, and we look at particle size often. And so I had the question, so what size are those particles that build up in the machine? And I asked several people, and most of the time the answer was, I don't know. And so I kept asking that question. I got curious. I guess as an engineer, I'm supposed to be curious, so that's a good thing. But I really kind of wanted to figure that out. But since I work in a gin lab and not in a textile research center, I thought, well, maybe I could do something with particle size, looking at it at the gin instead. And from there, maybe then we can go on to something that's in the textile industry. And so if we think about a lint cleaner, since we were talking about lint cleaning at this talk we were doing, we kind of know how lint cleaners work. We know they're good cleaners. They do a good job in the gin. They're important to the industry. We know they do a good job of taking out all types of trash, whether it's large particles and small particles, and different ones. And we know that basically they work by either a sling-off method, throwing particles off as they go around the saw, or by rubbing that cotton across the grid bar and basically kind of scraping material off. And we also know that we have a lot of different measurements that we can use to look at how much trash came out of the lint. And we have, and those, everybody, most everybody's seen those type of measurements. We have HVI measurements that look at percent area. Of course, we have leaf grade. We also have APHIS, where we can see visible foreign matter, our total foreign matter count, and even size. And we know that as we do lint cleaning, the amount of trash in the lint tends to decrease, and in fact, and also the trash size tends to increase. We do have a few measurements in general that we can look at that actually give us an idea of what happens to different sizes, and that may be APHIS measurement where we can compare dust count to trash count, and dust being particles that are less than 500 microns, and trash being particles that are greater than 500 microns, and so there's kind of a cutoff there we can look at. And also from some of our measurements like MDTA-3, which is, some of you may be familiar with the Shirley, it's kind of a high-tech Shirley analyzer, we can look at what the difference is in the two measurements we get with that, trash percentage and also dust percentage. And the dust would be the particles that come from the air wash of the MDTA-3 and end up on a filter. So we have some idea about how particles change and what kind of, not really a distribution, but at least different fractions of the trash in the lint. But I started, again, being curious, and I wanted to go a step further, and I said, well, I started thinking about what happens to the particle size distribution, not just one or two sizes of particles or a lump mass of how much do we take out, but what happens to all the different sizes, all the way from very, very tiny up to the very, very large trash as we do lint cleaning in the gin. So what we decided to do is we thought, well, let's analyze some lint samples and see what happens. So we wanted to look at before and after lint cleaning, and we wanted to identify trash in the samples and then see what happens to that trash and generate statistics that help us understand what occurs in the gin. And in the end, what we really like to do is we take those distributions that we develop and try to come up with some type of probability function, something like a normal curve or a log normal curve or something that would help us describe the shape of the particle size distributions of the lint, of the dust in the lint. And it sounds kind of dorky, but I'm a dorky engineer, so that's okay. But we're hoping that once we are able to measure some of these things, maybe then we can control them. You can't control a thing if you can't measure it. And so this is kind of where this all started. So what we decided to use is an in-house trash measurement system. There are other systems out there like APHIS, although for us, we had a little difficulty actually getting the raw numbers from APHIS. We had some good numbers, but we actually really wanted raw data that we could control. And we also wanted a larger image. So we used something we call CETUS, which is in-house developed at the Southwestern Cotton Ginning Lab in Mesilla Park, which is a cotton trash identification system. And what we use, it has the capability of either using a scanner or a camera, a digital camera, to take images of the lint and then identify the trash particles. We wanted to use the scanner just because of the ease of use. And we're also, with the scanner, able to compress the sample so we get a better image. So we used samples from a previous CI-supported study where we did. We went out to 13 different gins across the belt and collected samples at many different places in the gin. But specifically what we used is the lint before lint cleaning and after first and second stage of lint cleaning. At each site, there were at least three sampling times at every gin that we went out to during two different seasons. So you can see the number of samples is getting larger. There were five replicates at each gin for each time that we went, and those were all taken during the same module. So that gives us the replications that we need so we can do some of the statistics that we want to do. And actually, at the end, if you look at it, we also have 15 different varieties for this whole test. So we have a pretty large mass of data that we can do a lot of different things with. And it's not just data for one variety or for one gin, but it's many gins and many different varieties. So we're hoping that we can use this to develop some good correlations and distributions. So all in all, we had greater than about 800 samples, so it was quite a few. Our sample analysis was pretty simple. What we did is we took a sample and laid it on the scanner and ran our CETUS, our analysis software, and we took three different images of that sample. And like I said, for each sample there really were five replicates, and each of those samples we did at 400 dpi. That means that the smallest particle we could see would be one pixel, and that would be something that was basically about 70 microns in diameter or equivalent diameter, which the average size of a human hair is about 80 microns, the diameter, so you can understand how small that is. And so overall, my technician, my student worker, had to take about 2,400 images. It took about 2.5 minutes for every image, so she had quite a bit of work to do. It took a while. This is just an example of some of the images that we took with the system. Over here on the left side, you see these are the raw images of two different samples. Whoa, hey. I'm not used to the touch. These are the raw images that we have here. I'm trying to point to them on the left side. You can see they have some color. You can see the trash in them. On the right-hand side are the segmented images where the software actually went in and basically took away everything except for the trash particles so it could then measure them. And so that's why those look black and white. Just some statistics, a little bit about what we got from our data. These are similar to the types of data that you'd see from APHIS or HVI. Are basically the same thing. We didn't expect to see anything different because we're not trying to measure anything in a different way, really, than what you would see normally, that before lint cleaning, you have more trash. And after lint cleaning, whether it's one or two stages, the trash decreases. That's what we expected. We see that one thing that is typical, the average size increases. So something's happening in there where we're actually decreasing the number or the amount of trash, but the smaller particles are also coming out. And we can see that also in if we look at total count and dust count and those things. So these are kind of typical numbers of what we have from this project. But let's get into really what we want to see here. And this is an example of a particle size distribution that we get from a gin. And this is actually from one gin at a certain sampling time, all five replications for a module. And you can see the blue there is for zero lint cleaning, which would mean no lint cleaning. The purple or magenta would be one lint cleaner. And it turns out white on my screen, maybe yellow for you, is two lint cleaners. And first of all, the thing you see here is, wow, those bars are really skinny. Well, I wanted to put the whole distribution here to show you that there is a difference. We see most of the particles. Let's see if I can get this cursor in here without changing the, there it is. Most of the particles end up down here on the smaller size. You see the size of particles is down on the bottom. We start at around 50 to 100 microns and go all the way up to over 2,000 microns. Most of the particles end up in that lower range. But we do have particles that go all the way across. You can't see them very well, but there are bars that go all the way across, and then we have a pretty good size hump here because there are some large particles that kind of clump into that larger larger bin. One thing you'll notice is that there's always a decrease from blue to purple to yellow, no matter what size you look at. When we look at trash count, this is the number of particles in that trash. I'm going to move on and show you a little, some different slides. You'll be able to see this a little better. This is just another example of that same PSD, but this is based on percent of total. So I took the number of particles and divided by the total number of particles to kind of get a percentage. And you see the same kind of trends here, and that's to be expected. One thing you do see here, and you guys can see that from your seats, is that most of the color bars are down here below 500 or so microns, which is what we would call dust if we were talking about an APHIS measurement or something like that. So let's look there. So here's the same distribution, but now I've cut off everything else on the other end. It's a little bit easier to see. And one thing you will see here again is that when we go from blue, if we're looking at a particular size, let's say particles less than 100 microns, there is always a reduction from zero lint cleaning to one to two lint cleaners. And it's the same way as we go all the way up from one size to the next. That's expected. I expected to see that. One thing about that is that the decrease in number gets smaller as you go from one to the next, which is also expected. So there's not any, we're not going to call in the newspapers or anything on this, but it's interesting to actually see this in the actual particle size and not just on a bulk number. An interesting thing we see from the percentage numbers is that the reduction in the percentage tends to be about the same amount from zero lint cleaning to one to two. The jump isn't as great each time, and that's telling us that we do have a reduction in number, but the overall reduction is greater from zero lint cleaning to one lint cleaner to two lint cleaners. Another interesting fact that we see down at the bottom down here is that we actually have, in terms of percentage, an increase in some particle sizes, where we go from blue to magenta there. And that has to do with the way the percentage has worked out. We're decreasing the number in this range quite a bit. I can't keep this up there, quite a bit, but the overall number of particles also decreased quite a bit, so that the percentage actually went up. These are just some more numbers that have to do with the particle size distributions. I'm going to point out a couple of things here. One is that you can see that the mean for no lint cleaners is lower than one lint cleaner and two lint cleaners. And also the variability in that number, the standard error, tends to be lower with no lint cleaning. And also the number of particles. Here we see 4,400 particles, 3,100, 1,100. So we are decreasing the number, and the size of the particle is actually getting larger. This is an interesting slide here, and these are quantiles, and this kind of just tells us the number of particles, where the particles lie in that distribution. The median would mean that 50% of the particles are less than 100, about 100 microns, and that's the same all the way across. You see for one lint cleaner, two lint cleaners, and none, it's about 101. So 50% of the number of particles are all below about 100 microns for all of them. But one interesting thing that we see is that, if I can get this to work, is that as we start to go up, 75% of the particles for no lint cleaning were less than about 140, but it's 160 for one lint cleaner, and it's the same for two, but then 90% we have 300 for one and 362. So what happens is we're decreasing the number, but also we're changing that size distribution. We're starting to spread that distribution out. And not only is the size getting smaller, the average size getting smaller, but it's doing it at the expense of dropping off these large particles. You see the maximum size for no lint cleaners was close to 10,000 microns. The maximum size for one lint cleaner was 6,000. So we're decreasing the number, we're increasing the overall size, but we're also chopping off those great big ones, which kind of is counterintuitive. One of the next steps we have to do, and this is just kind of an example of what I'm trying, is we're trying to fit, you see these curves here, I'm trying to fit a distribution to probability distribution to these PSDs, and it's quite a task to try to figure out what distribution is going to, density function is going to describe them the best, but we really need to do this in order to later in our research be able to use these numbers in order to compare what's going on in these machines. So for further study, I'm going to continue exploring these probability density functions. I really want to try to find one function that we can use to describe different particle size distributions for different varieties for different times in the gen, so that we can use those then in more statistical analysis. We need to look at how a particular size might change in the gen from one lint cleaner to another, not just the whole thing, but maybe individual sizes. And also, we may want to go reanalyze some of our samples at a higher resolution, so we can actually look at some of the smaller particles, less than say 70 microns. So,
thank you.
Thank you.